Once upon a time, there was a very great treasure. Being a treasure of great worth, many people naturally sought it out. Legend had it that the treasure, which was very great indeed, was hidden somewhere near a village in the Holy Mountains. One day, three travelers arrived in the village, each hoping to make the treasure their own. The first was Lars, a great mountain climber from Oslo.
Hello there. My name's Lars, and I'll be able to make the treasure my own. They always had the treasure in the mountains. It will be mine.
The second was Bonnie, whose home deep in the valley of her country had been her playground for many years.
Treasure's always hidden in the dark places and the valleys of the world, but no one will find it. It will be mine.
Although Bonnie sounded a little like Mrs. McGonagall, the third was a young man from the faraway land of Wisconsin named Barry. And wearing a big straw hat, he also came to seek the treasure. A wayfinder by trade, he knew the treasure would be the end of a terribly difficult road.
Oh, don't you know? No one will be able to find it but me. It'll be mine.
A few days later, the three met by chance in a cafe near the center of town. A boy of the village who helped his mother at the cafe overheard the three discussing the great treasure. Each, in turn, assured the others that they and they alone could uncover the secret of the treasure. The boy smiled, for many visitors had come looking for it, each certain that they would be the one to find it. And the little boy, pouring coffee from a great pitcher, said,
"Welcome to our village. My name is Hahadas. Do you seek the great treasure?"
The three travelers laughed and wondered, "What could you, a mere boy, know of such great things? Go away and stop bothering us." Hahadas smiled politely and took his leave of the three great travelers. After all, he was just a boy. He set the great pitcher of coffee on the shelf and smiled to himself knowingly. The next day, Lars the mountain climber set out to find the treasure.
"I must gather a great mountain of gear if I am to conquer a great mountain. I will need ropes and relays, pickaxes and pitons, belays and backpacks. I need water barrels and widget, blunderbusses and blankets, and of course, pack mules and porters to carry everything if I can find the treasure."
And so they set off. Pack mules and porters, blunderbusses and blankets, pickaxes and pitons, and of course, Lars himself, perched atop a great pile of stuff as they journeyed to the mountain.
"Only I can find the treasure. It will be mine."
And so they slowly made their way up the mountain, where Lars, whose accent changed every 30 seconds, being an expert on such things, was sure he would find the treasure. With a great bundle of rope around his waist and a pack mule full of pickaxes and pitons, belays and backpacks, water barrels and widgets, he attacked the great peak.
"It will be mine!"
But the mountain proved too tall, even for the great Lars. The snow and wind drove him back. His pitons fell off of the precipice and the belays bounced . Even his blunderbuss, which was a very great gun indeed, was stepped upon by a bear. And Lars himself became hopelessly tangled in the great bundle of rope around his waist.
"I do not understand,"
he cried.
The treasure should be mine. I will not be beat by this silly mountain."
But the porter, behind his back, picked him up in his tangled web and tied him rope and all upon a pack mule to go back to the village. And so he returned without the treasure, in a very grumpy state of mind indeed. Hahadas, who was sitting by his window, saw Lars and all the rest of his party straggle back defeated into the village. Hahadas smiled and said to himself,
"Dear Lars, where's your treasure now?"
The next day, Bonnie set out.
Everyone knows that treasure is always hidden in deep, dark places like caves and holes and valleys. I will go to the dark places in the ravine, and the treasure will be mine.
So, Bonnie pulled on her great, heavy boots, tied a scarf upon her head, and set out across the valley opposite the mountains. She took no pack mules or porters or pickaxes or pitons to assist her on the way. After all, the great valleys of her home had been her playground, and she knew that sure feet, sharp eyes, and a superior intellect were all the help she would need to uncover the treasure in dark places. As she trudged deeper into the valley, the walls of the ancient ravine soared above her head.
"Oh, my! I can hardly see at all. The great green trees are closing in around me, and I cannot see next where I'm going to put my heavy boot."
But still, her superior intellect, and it really was superior, assured her that the deeper she went, the closer she would get to the treasure. So she trudged on into the valley, singing quietly to the treasure.
"Ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough to keep me away from you."
She was also tone deaf.
"What was that?"
Deeper and deeper she went until the trees stood bark to bark, and she could no longer see the sun above her. And suddenly, she came to a small clearing.
"The treasure must be here,"
she shouted to no one in particular, since she had neglected to bring anyone with her to listen to her singing. But alas, as she came to the far edge of the clearing, she found her heavy boots teetering on the great edge of a cliff. And she peered over the edge.
"That's a long way down,"
she said. And her superior intellect began to realize that in order for the treasure to be in a deep valley, someone would have had to put it there in the first place. Which, of course, was impossible, since she alone was the best climber of valleys. So she looked at the trees and the walls of the valley soaring overhead, and the great cliff in front of her, and paused.
"Superior intellect,"
she said, as she was in the habit of talking to her brain as if it was another person.
"We have been beaten at last."
And Bonnie tied her red scarf more tightly on her head and began the long journey back to the village. Hahadas sat quietly in his window and watched Bonnie, her face scratched from tree branches, her scarf hanging askew about her neck, and her muddy boots leaving telltale footprints across the village square. He smiled quietly to himself and wondered,
"Where's your treasure now, Bonnie?"
A few days later, Barry, the wayfinder from far, far away Wisconsin.
"What?"
At the failed efforts of his fellow travelers.
"Ha! What fools the others are! Porters and pack mules, blunderbusses and blankets,
Don't they know that sure feet and superior intellect are no way to find a treasure? Treasures are always hidden at the end of twisty roads and torturous tracks. Only I can find the treasure.
Checking Google
Maps on his smartphone, found his way to the local wayfinding store. Here, he bought maps and Mercators, globes and GPS, books and binoculars, and just in case, a very long red string. He packed them all into a very organized and attractive pull-behind suitcase, as one does, pulled his straw hat firmly on his head, and set off to the twistiest road that led away from the village, pulling his suitcase behind. As he walked, he let out a very long string.
After all, my mother always told me you ought to be careful.
So he was. He tied the red string to a tree at the start of the road. Immediately, the road turned right, and then left, and left again. And soon it looped up a hill and down a valley, and then made a complete circle. Before he knew it, the road was bordered on either side with high hedges that he could not see over, or under for that matter, to see where the road was going.
"No matter,"
he said.
"My mama used to say, be prepared."
And he was. Barry found an old stump on the side of the road and snapped open his very attractive suitcase, which was wonderfully organized, and pulled out his trusty GPS.
"Half the battle is knowing where you're going, eh?
Or,
and it might be where you are."
He triumphantly exclaimed. As he lifted the lid of his case, his maps, the case of his maps, a pesky breeze swirled around him and blew his maps out of the case. They fluttered like great butterflies over the top of the hedge and stuck on a branch high above his head.
"No matter,"
he said as he pushed the power button on the GPS. But nothing happened. Nothing at all.
"Oh, dear,"
he said as he rummaged through his very attractive suitcase.
"I have maps and Mercators, globes and GPS, books and binoculars, but I totally forgot the batteries."
Barry, the great wayfinder from Wisconsin, whose intellect was apparently not all that superior.
"Who said that?"
Tugged the great red string his mother had cautioned him to carry, and found his way back to the start of the road.
He slowly untied the string. Ahadas
sat quietly in his window and watched Barry as he walked across the village, straw hat pulled low over his eyes in embarrassment, and a right bright red string trailing behind a very attractive and largely empty suitcase. Ahadas smiled quietly to himself and wondered,
"Where's your treasure now, Barry?"
The next morning, truly, the next morning,
the three travelers
found their way back to the cafe where they had started. And they sat together, sadly eating porridge at the cafe. Ahadas poured each of them a cup of coffee from a great pitcher. He gently,
being a sensitive boy, asked them,
"Did you find your treasure?"
Each in turn grunted in embarrassment. For they had been sure they and only they could find the treasure. Ahadas, whose name means the way, said,
"Perhaps you were looking for the wrong treasure. As I tried to tell you before you set out on your adventure, an ancient prophet once said, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the love of God. The treasure of our village is not gold or silver, but a God who loves us even in our silliness. The mountain has been leveled, the valley filled, and the road straightened. The treasure you seek is not on a mountain or in a valley or at the end of a twisted road. It is here, in your heart, God's gift of love."
The three travelers looked at Ha-Hadas, a mere boy, as he hurried away to serve another table. And as they looked at one another, a warm glow entered their hearts. They finally had their treasure.
Thank you.